Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Hello, everyone. Today is October 7, 2017, and this is the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I am sitting here with Suzette, Larry, and Rick with Dr. Don on the phone, and it also looks like we have
Don and Linda
on the phone, too. It's nice to have everybody here. I'm going to do just our little quick, housekeeping chores. I am going to be monitoring chat room today, and I've posted our original website, our Spirit of Ministry Gmail address. You can use all three of these to your heart's content. If you need to say anything or ask any questions that you can't, you can email us at spiritoftruthministry@gmail.com, and I will return your email post haste. We have also the book, Spirit of the Church, which is on our original website, our official website at spiritoftruthministry.net. That is a wonderful primer into what we do here at Spirit of Truth Ministry, and we highly recommend that you read that. Let's have prayer and we will get started. Thank you, Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, for your being with us today and teaching us the truth, for helping us to learn what is true and be able to separate it from what isn't. There is so much false information and lies being perpetrated in the Christian church and in all churches concerning how we gain eternal life. And Father, I pray that you will open a way for Spirit of Truth Ministry and all of the other people in the world that you have who are seeking the truth to be able to learn it so that we can teach it and so that we can all go home. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette. Nice to see you. Good morning, Rick. And good morning, Larry.
Great to see
all of you there.
I thought what I would talk about today is soul food. That is not a good concern.
I have no idea.
What do you want to do?
No, something.
Okay. Are we up and running?
We're up and running. I'm telling you, it's crackling and popping.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea what's going on.
Now it just cleared up.
Is it good now?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, maybe.
Okay, we're talking about soul food. Sorry about the distortion, popping, crackling.
We were breaking up, but that's supposed to be hard to do, so I guess we were doing the impossible.
Thank you, Larry. God created man in the image of himself.
I am still not hearing that microphone. Touch that microphone. Just touch it. Not hearing.
It's connected.
I hear him.
I know, but you're hearing it through this, not through. And I've.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Why is this not testing 1, 2, 3? It's not coming through my microphones. It's plugged in. Let me try it again.
Does it be different? That sound is on or off?
It's not got it on.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
What's going on? Because this. Thing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You know, I think you better. I think you better go ahead and put the phone on. Because I've got everything is configured. I've configured. I've got the USB port open. The output is on the internal speakers. The input is on the USB. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, and I'm getting it here.
Right.
Notice this is going.
Yeah, it's going.
But it's going through, and I have no idea why.
What's the number?
Double check that.
Okay, hang on here. It is 425-292.
It's showing.
I know it's showing.
That's what we were saying.
Hang on just one. Okay. Okay, can you hear? Testing, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Because I got you coming through here, but now let me just check. Go ahead and just start talking. Just keep going, and we'll change it over if we need to.
So just if you haven't listened to yesterday's study.
It's coming through this. It's not coming through this. Not coming through this. It's breaking up. Well, I'm hearing it on the Blog Talk Radio thing, and it's just breaking and breaking and breaking.
Okay, so what's the number?
425-292-4444. That's the host calling.
800-425?
No, no.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just 425. That's the error code.
Oh, okay.
292-4444. I'm sorry, everybody. And then you're going to have to put the host pin in. What?
Put your fingers up.
Wait a minute. What? That's Washington State.
What is?
425.
It's the host call-in number is 425-292-4444.
You're positive.
I'm positive.
Okay.
It's right. They changed it. See, I can hear myself clearly because I'm broadcasting through the through this, and it's
what's
hearing
the host pin.
607-394-pound.
Well, now everybody knows it.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh, you're still dialed in. It's not letting me in because you're...
Okay, well, you know what? Here, let's turn this around. You just talk into this.
Just do that.
Or the other thing that you could do is call into the... Just dial in... Dialing into host, dial into that number. That's a good, that's what we'll do. 267168390.
Let that happen.
Electronics are going nuts.
626-716-8390.
90.
And then I'll just pull you up. I have a feeling that, and again, this is showing, but I'm getting nothing through this. And I've got everything configured. What I would have to do, I have to shut the machine off and start over.
It's not.
What's your?
It's saying leave a message.
626-716-8390.
716-716-8390. 8390.
Yes.
It's dialing. It's ringing.
Mm-hmm.
What does that, doesn't it?
Did it show up?
Do you want
to use mine? Hmm. You know, maybe I ought to just start.
Yeah. Shut it down and bring it up.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll shut it down and bring it back up. All right. Well, we'll keep trying this. I'll check it.
Okay,
go on.
Can you hear me?
Well, I haven't got this thing logged in yet. Just talking. I'm sure it's up.
So, I just want to remind you that if you have not listened to yesterday's program, which was Friday, October 6th, that it will help connect with what we're going to talk about today. What we're talking about today is soul food.
Okay, it's up. It's still crackling, but
okay. And not that good, wholesome Southern cooking, but good, wholesome spiritual food that feeds the soul. It can be likened to the breath of life. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we read, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in the likeness of ourselves, and let them be masters of the fish of the sea and the birds of heaven, cattle, all the wild beasts, and all the reptiles that crawl upon the earth." God created man in the image of himself. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, saying to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and conquer it." God created man, formed him of the dust of the earth. And I wanted to read that.
Genesis 2.
Yeah, Genesis 2, and the verse is...
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 2, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yahweh, God, fashioned man of the dust of the soil. Then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and thus man became a living being.
Mm-hmm.
there are three components of mankind which require that they all work together to support the being. We have the dust of the earth, which is the substance, the cells that make up the tissues, that make up the organs, that support the processes of life. When the man was formed, the man was not alive. The man was a body, and that was it. God breathed the breath of life into the man, and thus began the physiological processes taking place in the cells that God had created and formed. And the man became alive. And the man lived until the processes ceased to function. We're talking about a physical, substantive being. But the man had a consciousness, awareness. The man saw Elohim, who created him. And Elohim talked to the man. He took the man and put him in the garden that he had planted, and he said, "This garden is yours. All the fruit that the trees in the garden bear, you may eat from freely, including the tree of life. But there is one tree in the midst of the garden that you are never to eat from. If you ever eat from that tree, you will, on that day that you eat from it, die." And the word that the Elohim used for that is, "You will be put to death." Here we have exemplified the two realities that we as humanity are concerned with. First of all, we have our substantive life, which is the body and the breath of life, and then the consciousness awareness. As the man, the dust, first saw, the first that the man saw was his creator. And his creator spoke to him. One thing of note, and it's obvious, but sometimes the obvious we don't recognize. And we need to recognize the obvious. The man saw his creator, didn't know that was his creator. The man saw the earth around him, but he didn't know what it was. his creator took him and placed him in this garden that he had planted. And immediately as we're reading, his creator starts giving instruction. And the instruction is how the man will be able to continue to live. And as man lives, he has consciousness, awareness of everything around him. God brings forth from the ground, again, animals, and gives these animals names. And whatever the man calls them, that's what their name is. And then the Elohim say it's not good for the man to be alone. He needs a helpmate. And we understand how that worked out. In all of this, the one thing that the Elohim said to the man was that all of this is yours as long as you obey. As long as you obey. There is nothing different about that tree. There was nothing different about that fruit. There was nothing special about what that tree would give intellectually, spiritually. The only thing about that tree that was the man and the woman was that it was the one thing that their creator required from them that they would, as long as they were in compliance with that, they would have life. As long as they obeyed the command of God, they would have life. What God was teaching was that to obey them that the man and the woman would live forever because they had access to the tree of life. If they disobeyed, not only would they know what evil was, but they would be put to death. So, I've already talked about what happened there and why they were not put to death and what God's plan was to work out a solution to accomplish what God really needed to accomplish. The only way the Elohim were going to defeat the rebellion that Lucifer and his companions, those who sided with Lucifer in the rebellion, would be able to be defeated, would be to accomplish obedience. Accomplish obedience. How is that done? turn to Matthew chapter 13. We primarily focused on John the Baptist's final statement of the Son of God before he was put in prison. The reason that John the Baptist was put in prison was that he, for some unknown reason, had decided that he needed to inform King Herod that he had committed a sin that he needed to confess and make good on. Now, my understanding is that Herod had many issues that needed to be dealt with, and that this was probably one of the ones that, well, if John was going to concern himself with trying to get Herod to turn around, he might as well go to work on Lucifer and try and get him to turn around. Anyway, John was arrested and put in prison. But what John said was very, showed a lot of insight and was very important. And we find that in John chapter 3. And here's what he said in concluding this. Starting with verse 32, John chapter 3. He who comes from heaven bears witness to the things he has seen and heard. Testimony is not accepted, though all who do accept his testimony are attesting the truthfulness of God. He whom God has sent speaks God's own words. And you know, we talked about that. If those who say that the testimony of Jesus doesn't apply to them because they're under grace, and so God gave Paul another testimony that works for them, and that so Jesus came here to try and save the Jews and see if they really understood why he came. They wouldn't say that, but they do because that's what they've been told. What John says is, he who comes from heaven bears witness to the things he has seen and heard, even if his testimony is not accepted. Though all who do accept his testimony are attesting the truthfulness of God. God gives him the Spirit. Since he whom God has sent speaks God's own words, God gives him the Spirit without reserve. He's talking about those who accept the testimony of Jesus. The Father loves the Son and has entrusted everything to him. Anyone who believes in the Son has eternal life, but anyone who refuses to believe in the Son will never see life. Wait a minute. There must be a difference between being alive and having life.
Those texts that you just read match up and cross-reference with John 3:16 rather well and give John 3:16 a better context to that.
Well,
we're gave and sent.
We are in John 3, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed. But anyone who refuses to believe in the Son will never see life. The anger wrath of God stays on him. We opened our study, and I'm sorry that there was kind of glitchy. That is always distracting, and sometimes it happens. It's beyond control. We opened the study with the description of the formation of the man from the dust of the earth, and that God breathed into him the breath of life, and the man became a living being. But the man disobeyed. And when the man disobeyed God, he was still a living being, but he had become, he had on him the death decree, a debt that he had not paid.
And that he could not pay himself without dying.
Exactly. So the man, you know, you've there was a movie a few years ago. What was it called? It was about being on death row, in prison on death row. Mm-hmm. Dead Man Walking. Dead Man Walking.
Right.
Adam was a dead man walking. After the disobedience, he had a decree which was not carried out. He was a dead man walking. He and his wife. And all of their offspring were dead men walking.
And this matches what had already occurred in the world with the entire population of the world, who, because of their acceptance of an alternate God, were also dead people walking.
But they were not guilty
because they had not
been informed.
Right.
And that informed is key, because how are you informed?
The purpose for Adam and Eve in the garden was to become informed.
Someone who knows
right.
needs to convey that information to those who are uninformed.
And that is the purpose of the kingdom of the heavens.
That is the purpose that the Son of God came to this earth to do. When that same Son of God stood in front of the man that he had just breathed life into, and started the physiological processes in the cells, in the cells of the body, so that the body functioned to maintain the living state. The cells in the brain began to function to not only coordinate what was going on in the body, but to allow the man to connect via words, information. As God spoke to the man heard, and the man processed this information. And when God said to the man, never eat from that tree, he heard and acknowledged that. The woman, when the serpent came and said, did God not say you can eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman read back the instruction never to eat from the tree in the midst of the garden. And the woman did that because the woman had heard that admonition and had heard what would happen on the day if they ever ate from that. So how does that affect us? Because we weren't just brought to life from the dust of the earth. We were born woman. We were born of a woman, and when we were born is just like when the man was. That moment where the breath of God started the physiological processes, and the man became a living, communicating being. A baby starts out having a certain amount of awareness. That awareness begins to develop, and the baby learns from these, I guess, if you will. The baby instinctively cries when they're hungry or needs something, and this begins the process of learning. If we want to be reconnected to God, because that connection was broken, if we want to be reconnected with God, also a process of learning. The evil one knows this, and what the evil one has done, he has developed a process of learning that keeps you dead. Lies are death. You believe a lie, you are dead. God wants to give you life, and God has given the breath of life. But it is not that God breathed into the man. You have that already. You are alive, you are not living. What we need to do is we need to hear the breath or the spirit of information, of the truth, in order to have life in us. We need to have the truth in us. And the only way to have the truth in us is through the portals that lead to our soul, our intellect. We must take in the information that was brought to us by the witness to the truth, which is the Son of God. And the Son of God attested to the veracity of the law and the prophets. And that the law and the prophets would continue on as authorized, valid information from God that was given to accomplish a certain purpose. And that certain purpose was to develop a kingdom that God could use to overthrow the rebellion that the evil one had perpetrated. The evil one developed a kingdom filled with people who are alive but not living. You know what a zombie is? That's basically what we're talking about. The kingdom of the world is full of zombies. the kingdom of God is full of living, communicating, intelligent beings. In the seminar last weekend, I used a word which came to me, and it was insightful. And that word is intellect. When we talk about, you know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. What is the first thing that comes into our mind when we hear that word heart? That organ in the center of our chest that pumps blood throughout our body. And there's always something there that doesn't quite complete the connection when we think about the heart. But let's just say man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the intellect. Now, that brings a little bit different take, view, on heart. What is the intellect? Larry, what is the intellect? Have it written.
Read from my notes that I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I was looking on the internet after Rick, like he said, had new discoveries and value to the word intellect, which contrasts with other words like intelligence and so forth. Intellect, the basic definition, is the capacity for rational thought or inference or discrimination. On the internet, what I found following that basic definition was a sentence in quotes without attributing the quote to anybody in particular. So we are told that man is endowed with reason and capable of distinguishing good from evil. I really liked that good from evil and how well that fits into Genesis 2.
The intellect is where the confluence of information arrives. So what I'm talking about is that when information is received through the eyes or the ears, that has to go somewhere. And where it goes, if it is allowed, if it's not stopped up. And a number of years ago, I gave a study on the firewall. And a firewall is a software construct that is programmed to allow certain information through, but to block certain other information.
In chemistry, we would call that a semi-permeable membrane. It will block some things but let other things through.
So you can only imagine those whose firewall has been programmed to allow lies through, but to block truth because it contradicts the lies that they hold to be true. That when information comes in, as soon as it hits the firewall, if that information is true, it is thrown out. Now, in the few minutes we have left, turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I hope I've said enough that it can connect. Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 1. That same day, Jesus left the house and sat by the lakeside. But such crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. It sounds like that there was such a press of people, of crowd, that they kept pressing closer and closer, and he was getting closer and closer to the edge of the water of the lake, that he stepped out into a boat that was tied there, and he was out a little bit in the lake in this boat while the people probably at the front of the line had their feet wet. Just imagine thousands of people pressing in. The people all stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables. What is a parable?
Another one right down my alley. Huh? I recently had to do some study on, for my writing purposes, on what amounted to figures of speech and the different types of figures of speech, one of which is a parable and metaphors. Parables, one I saw, parable is a metaphor that has moral applications and connotations, lessons to be learned.
In computer description, what would a parable be? I bet you haven't thought about this before, have you?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard about spyware, ransomware, a virus. What does spyware do? What is it designed to do?
To capture your information and transmit it to whoever is managing the spyware.
But how does it get in?
It infiltrates.
Well, like, you know, what usually happens is that the person who's created this subterfuge program will send an email, you know, just out to emails all over the place.
An email blast.
And make it kind of enticing to someone who's opened up their email and there's a little catching, oh, yeah, you know, I'd like, and they click on that and open it.
Wow.
It's in.
Boom.
See? What parable is designed to confuse the firewall so that it can go through? But once through, the person needs to do is, it's not really specific. They can make it into whatever they want. So what do they need? They need a program that will interpret that. If they're open to that, they will be able to understand what it is saying. Otherwise, it's just a story that they can do whatever they want with.
And also, parables can at times actually be prophecy.
Yes. Let's continue to read. He said, imagine a sower going out to sow. I remember he's in the boat, and there's all these thousands of people that are listening. As he sowed, some seeds fell on the edge of the path. The birds came and ate them up. Others fell on patches of rock where they found little soil and sprang up straight away because there was no depth of earth. But as soon as the sun came up, they were scorched, and not having any roots, they withered away. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Others fell on rich soil and produced their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Listen, anyone who has ears. Okay. Now, are we talking using spiritual language or are we using physical language? How many of those people standing on the beach, the thousands of people, how many of those people had ears?
All of them, unless they were deaf.
No. Unless they were cut off. They all had ears.
Correct.
Okay. They all had ears unless their ears had been cut off.
Right.
So physically, they had ears. But spiritually, first of all, what you need to do is look at the obvious and say there must be something more. He's not asking how many of you people have ears on the side of your head. Because they would all raise their hands. But he'd say, how many understand this parable? Maybe a few might raise their hands, but I would say most of them didn't, because the disciples didn't understand it. His disciples didn't understand it. So when he says, listen, anyone who has ears, there is something there that he is saying that you need to understand before you say, I have ears. That's what most people say. So the program, the information has gone through the firewall because it's not obviously going to get blocked. But what the Son of God, the teacher, is saying is, those who have ears to hear will understand what this means, because it is now in the point, it's in the flow where the confluence of information, which will go to the intellect, to heart. Then the disciples went up to him and asked, why do you talk to them in parables? Because, he replied, The mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens are revealed to you, but they are not revealed to them. For anyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But if anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The reason I talk to them in parables is that they look without seeing and listen without hearing or understanding. And what is understanding connected with? The intellect. So in their case, this prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled. You will listen and listen again, but not understand. You can't understand because your intellect has been programmed with lies. See and see again, but not perceive. You cannot perceive if your intellect has been programmed with lies. For the heart of this nation has grown coarse. And let's put in that word. For the intellect of this nation has grown coarse. Their ears are dull of hearing, and they have shut their eyes for fear that they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their intellect and be converted and be healed by me. Whoa. Why are these thousands of people pressed in on him? Because he's been healing the sick and doing miracles, and they want to either see the next miracle or they have a need of healing. We're talking, you see the difference between the physical and the spiritual, the physical and the spiritual. He's trying to enforce upon them the importance of the spiritual and understanding the spiritual, having the spiritual connection. If we are going to be born by the Spirit of God, we have to have that spiritual connection. The only way we will have understand the words of the Son of God.
Wow, that's exactly right, Suzette. That is a wow. I'm going to encourage our listeners to go this afternoon over to our Blog Talk Radio page. You can download this and any number of about 870 shows. We also encourage you to join next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus. Please feel free and take advantage of going to our websites, especially spiritoftruthministry.net. So on behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis Neufeld saying so long for now. We'll see you next week, and may God bless.